Hey there, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I am your host, Clayton Morris. This is the podcast where we stay laser focused on creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. And mostly we focus around rental real estate, buy and hold real estate. And occasionally we have some great financial guests here on the show to dive deep on how to protect and maximize our retirement planning, how to maximize our investments so that we're getting the best bang for our buck. And I have to admit, up until about 3 minutes ago, I didn't know much, if anything, about today's topic. And I'm super excited to welcome on the show the founder and president of Sense Financial Services, LLC, which is a boutique financial firm specializing in self-directed retirement accounts with checkbook control. We're going to find out what all of that means. My guest today is Dmitry Fomenchenko, and he is the president and founder of Sense Financial Services, and we are going to dive deep today into self-directed IRAs and 401ks. Dmitry, great to have you here on the show. Thanks for joining me.
Clayton, thank you for having me. I'm excited to share with you and your listeners about the topic, and it's great to be here.
Okay, so we're going to dive deep, and we're going to get into some nitty-gritty on exactly what self-directed solo 401ks are all about. Now, we've done shows around self-directed IRAs, but we've not ever talked about self-directed solo 401ks. And really, before the show, Dmitry was telling me, he's like, it kind of blows out of the water, self-directed IRAs. So before we get into that and the differences, how did you get into this, and have you been a real estate investor for a long part of your life?
Sure. Let me just give you a little bit of a background about myself and how I got into this. As you can hear, and as you can, your listeners can hear, my accent, I'm not from Southern California originally. I'm actually immigrated.
Oh, you're from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Immigrated here from Russia back in 1996. So believe it or not, it's been 20 years. This October will be 20 years.
Wow.
Time flies. But I didn't speak any English. I didn't have any money when I got here. So just kind of started from ground zero. Got introduced to real estate investing in 2001. Attended a few seminars, end up buying a couple of investment properties, and then I got into financial planning. And so I kind of did both for some time, and I was able to compare the two. You know, I was helping people just with the conventional retirement planning, conventional retirement accounts, mutual funds, and so forth. And I had some investments going on the side. And what I noticed that with my real estate portfolio was growing, and I was able to see much greater returns than just conventional investments. So I actually end up switching, doing more in real estate, and I end up working, going full time to work with a real estate investment firm. And about 6 years ago, when the market was down and people wanted to buy more real estate because there were great opportunities back then in 2010, but they didn't have a credit necessarily. They weren't able to finance more properties, and they had retirement accounts that didn't do well. And so I started this as a project, as a research project, and just started helping few of our clients at that time. And a few months later, I actually branched out on my own, started Sense Financial, and that's all we do. We help people obtain checkbook control over their retirement accounts so that they can invest in outside of the stock market in opportunities like real estate, private lending. They can do trust deeds and tax liens and so forth. So that's kind of brief history.
That's great. So when you started getting into real estate investing, what sort of sectors were you looking at when you started investing?
I basically started in just single family homes, rental properties.
And were you buying those with cash, or was that something you were actually leveraging your own retirement accounts to acquire?
Well, when I started, I was just doing it in my own name, just using leverage. Now that I specialize in retirement accounts, I do practice what I preach, and I have my own self-directed 401k, and I own a property in it, and I do mainly I do private lending out of my retirement account because I think it's the best. It's really passive. Returns are great. You know, I think because of the tax benefits, it's great to buy rentals in your own name if you can, and do private lending out of retirement account. So that's mainly what I'm doing.
Okay, so my wife and I, we have a self-directed IRA. We have in the past purchased properties inside of it. We've also done private lending and created notes. We have a whole couple of episodes where we talk about how, you know, we structured private notes using our self-directed IRA. You know, it wasn't a huge account. We had like, I don't know, maybe we had like 80 or 90,000 in there. And because the houses that we, you know, are able to, that we sell through my company, sort of our all-in total cost after the rehab is about 45,000 roughly. So we were able to lend out to a couple of investors that, you know, needed cash. We were able to do that. And we were able to structure the notes through the self-directed IRA. And I have to admit, it was a little cumbersome, you know, that process, because we didn't, as you say, have checkbook control of that process. It wasn't terribly easy. I mean, it's a great investment, but it wasn't super simple, right? Just like lending your friend money. There's like a lot of other hurdles you need to go through. But so tell me, what is the difference between a self-directed IRA and why you're such a fan of self-directed solo 401ks? What's the difference?
Well, I can tell you this, that when I started this company back in 2010, 6 years ago, we mainly did IRAs. We just did self-directed IRAs, checkbook IRAs. Most people that will come to us, they will come with rolling over an old 401k or an IRA, and they bring, you know, $100,000, maybe $50,000, some $200,000-$300,000, and they start investing. Basically, they had to bring something else. I didn't have anyone come to just start an IRA from scratch, because the limit on contributions to an IRA, as you know, is $5,500 per year. So you need number of years to contribute to grow that account before you can do much self-directed investing. But once I learned about solo 401k and we started doing that, our model had shifted significantly, not because we wanted, but because it just happened naturally. With a solo 401k, which is also can be self-directed. And what is a solo 401k? First of all, let me tell you and your listeners what that is. Basically, it's just like a regular 401k you have at your employer if you work for a company. But solo 401k is a simplified version, if you will, and it's designed for those people who are either self-employed or they own a business and they don't have any full-time employees there. So typically, with the solo 401k, there is only one or maybe two participants. So it's the owner and perhaps his spouse. So if you're a small business owner, you and your spouse can participate in that 401k. And you don't have to do all of the compliance, all of the other stuff that requires with the company 401k, because you have other participants. So they're very easy to administer. And one of the main benefits of the solo 401k is that it allows you as a small business owner or self-employed make large contributions up to $53,000 per year per participant. So think about this. If you're a husband and wife business owner, and you make decent income, you can potentially shelter up to $106,000 into this account, plus $6,000 catch up contributions for those who are over 50. So that brings it up to $118,000 just in 1 year. I mean, think about the tax impact. I mean, if you're going to lower your taxable income by $100,000, you're going to be sheltering significant amount from taxes. Plus, you're probably going to end up in a lower tax bracket. So you it's a great tax sheltering vehicle. This is just one of the benefits of the solo 401k.
Okay, so what is the difference between a solo 401k and then, you know, something like that I've got through my employer, like I have a 401k structured through Fidelity? Is that something that first of all, what are the differences between those two?
Well, again, the employer 401k, it is designed to accommodate the employees, all of the employees. So if it's a large company, I mean, it can be 20 employees, it can be 200,000 employees. I talked to somebody yesterday who worked for Bank of America and said there is like 200,000 employees. So the large company 401k has large number of participants. With the solo 401k, there's again only one or two participants. It's not designed to accommodate employees.
Okay, so it's not.
That's the main difference.
So the main difference is just that it's not. It doesn't accommodate employees. But really, your investment structure, it's totally up to you what you put into it. I mean, I know with a 401k, I think it's the brilliance of the 401k for a lot of people is that it's super simple, right? It's almost like turnkey. you set it up. And your employer has basically structured some easy funds that you're able to just kind of pick from, and that goes right in, and you're able to choose those, and you're good to go. With a solo 401k, is it up to you to kind of pick what funds you're investing in?
Yeah, so not every solo 401k is the same. You know, if you're going to go to Fidelity or Wells Fargo, you can set up a solo 401k there, but it's going to be limited. It will not be self-directed. It's going to be limited to the investments that they provide. And obviously, Fidelity and Vanguard, their goal is to sell the investments that they offer. So they're going to only allow you to invest in mutual funds that they sell. And it's not going to be self-directed. So you need a company like us, a provider like us, that we can structure a 401k that is totally self-directed. It does not have restrictions that Fidelity and other custodians will put. And 401k actually does not require a custodian. So it can be set up as a qualified plan, and then we create a trust. Instead of using a third-party custodian, a trust company, we create a trust specifically for that 401k. And trust is used as a vehicle to hold assets. And the client becomes the trustee of the trust, and gets all the control. So they can actually go and open up a checking account at the bank of their choice and roll over funds from existing IRA or 401k into this new account. And from there, they can make the investments. And making an investment like buying a rental property is as simple as writing a check.
So it's that simple. Now, one of the hangups that we have, of course, with using, you know, a self-directed IRA with our provider is that it ends up being a little cumbersome, and we know the tax benefits of it, but you know, the cumbersome nature of it is that all of the checks and everything need to come from that account, and everything needs to flow through that account. And is there any difference in that structuring between a self-directed IRA and a solo 401k?
Yeah, there is a huge difference because, like you said, with self-directed IRA, you have to have a custodian. Custodian is required by the IRS.
So, what is a custodian? Maybe for custodian, those of you who doesn't
know, a custodian is a third-party bank or a trust company. Typically, it's a trust company, like, you know, Fidelity, for example,
right?
Or Vanguard. They're a trust company. They're a custodian. They actually hold the money. They have a custody of your funds. That's the name custodian comes from. They have the custody of the funds. And you open up an account with them. And if it's a self-directed IRA, like maybe Equity Trust or Pensco, some of the big names out there, they also have custody of your funds, but they don't limit the investments. So in order for you to make the investment, you have to go to the custodian, Pensco or Fidelity, Pensco or Equity Trust.
Right. We use it. We've used Equity Trust in the past. Yeah.
Okay. So you come to them and say, okay, I want to buy this property. You complete the paperwork and they take a few days to process that. And then they issue a check and they send that to escrow if you're buying a property, for example. And then if you need to make a payment for certain, you know, maybe utilities or repair bill, you have to go through them again and complete the paperwork and wait. So every time you have to go through a middleman. The difference with the solo 401k is that there is no middleman. We create a trust that you control. You have the checking account. And when you're ready to buy the investment, you write the check or you wire the money from your account to escrow directly. There is no middleman. If you need to pay a property tax bill or insurance bill or a repair bill, you write the check and pay that bill. There is no middleman. The middleman, the custodian, is eliminated forever.
So maybe I'm just going to ask the dumb, obvious question, but why would you ever want then to use a self-directed IRA?
Well, and that's why our business had shifted dramatically. Right now, we're doing about 95% of our business as solo 401k. So only few clients here and there do IRA because solo 401k is just so much better. Now, when are there instances when self-directed IRA will work? Yes, and a couple that I can think of is, number one, not everyone qualifies for a solo 401k. So you need to be either self-employed or you need to own a business without full-time employees to qualify for the solo 401k. And if you're just a W-2 employee, you might be an investor, but you have a decent paying corporate job and you have W-2 income, you don't qualify for a solo 401k. Now, if you have a job, but you have a side business, maybe you flip a couple of properties on the side, that can be your self-employment activity and you can still do a solo 401k. Even if you have a side self-employment activity in addition to the full-time job. So that's one instance. The second...
Let me just dive a little deeper on that question. Sure. Before you move on. Let's say you're an investor. You've got seven properties. You have like two or three LLCs set up in order to manage those properties. Many of our investors do that, myself included. And if we've got employees who are sort of on a W-2 or not a W-2, like a 1099 freelance basis, you would still qualify for a solo 401k. Is that correct?
Well, this is a good question, Clayton, and let's clarify that. So, again, the key here is you need to have a legitimate business doing active or earning active income. When you have an LLC that just has rental properties, that's passive. The rental income in its nature is passive.
Gotcha, right.
Okay. Now, if you actually want to set up, if you own number of doors, and I have clients who, they own 10, 20 properties and they actually manage them themselves. They can set up a property management company. It can be just a sole proprietorship. You don't necessarily need to have an LLC. But if they actually manage those properties, they can start paying themselves a management fee, and that will be earned income because just rental income in itself is passive. Regardless whether you own it personally or you own it through an LLC, it's still passive. You need to have earned income.
So what I'm gathering from the way you're saying this is that there are a lot of creative ways to create active income, right?
There is, yes.
Yeah, in order to take advantage of this. I'm sure that if you got it with your accountant, you could probably come up with some really great ways to – I mean, the beauty of passive income is that it's passive, right, that your income is working for you. But if you got a little creative in your business, whether it's even, I don't know. I'm just thinking of some different ways off the top of my head, but you're absolutely right. And I think that there are some really creative ways that you could come up with to create some active income.
Well, listen, I always tell, whenever I speak somewhere, I tell folks, listen, you need to start thinking about this. If you're just an employee, if you're working at a job, you do not own that job. Somebody else controls it. Yes, there are some jobs that are more secure than others, but you don't own it. You can lose that any time. And again, not the same for everybody, but it's always good to have a side business. Everyone should have some kind of side business.
Right.
And there are benefits to that. Number one, you can qualify for a solo 401k. But number two, if you have a business, that's additional, you're creating additional income stream. And that should be the goal for everyone. And that's the point of achieving financial independence. Create multiple streams of income. If you have a JOB, that's a good, one source of income. Then if you have a rental property, that's another source of income. If you're doing some private lending, that's another source of income. And then if you own a small business, you create an additional income stream that will help you sustain. Should you lose your job or should you maybe it might develop into a full-time business? Who knows?
Right, right. So sorry to interrupt you, but I really wanted to clarify that point. So that's one way to take advantage of that. And you were going to mention another way to, and hope I didn't distract you.
No problem. Yeah, the other way when an IRA might be the way to go over the 401k is that if you have a Roth IRA, If you have Roth IRA money, then IRS does not allow you to roll over Roth IRA into a 401k. So you only can do a self-directed Roth IRA. But
if you have a traditional, then you can roll it over into the solo 401k.
Traditional, any other account can be rolled over into a solo 401k with one exception, and that is a Roth IRA.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Today's episode is brought to you by Eero, E-E-R-O. I love Eero. I don't know what the Wi-Fi in my house would be like without these guys. Seriously changed our life. Or were you like me? Did you have crappy Wi-Fi spread throughout your house and you have all these dead spots? You don't know how to connect. You say, oh no, I got to stand over here by this window in order to get good Wi-Fi. You probably have some pretty terrible router that you got from Comcast or, you know, one of those companies that gives your cable, you know, and your with your television, and they kind of bundle that thing and it's awful and it never works. And they put it in one room, or maybe they set up a repeater in another room and that doesn't work. That's where Eero comes in. Eero, I've been using them for a number of years. I was with them at the very beginning when they had their first generation Eero. And the way it works is it works like a mesh network. Multiple Eeros throughout the house create this mesh throughout the house where you don't get dead spots, where you get consistently fast Wi-Fi all over your house. I've got multiple Eeros spread throughout my house because I love it. I've got the second generation Eero, which just came out. And they're fantastic. They've done such an amazing job creating this whole Wi-Fi system, the whole home Wi-Fi system. So multiple access points placed throughout the house. And that's, it was really only reserved for like enterprise, you know, like going into a commercial office building. And Eero said, no, we want to make this for consumers. So you can go out there and get great Wi-Fi in your home. Now, the second generation Eero and the Eero Beacon have just rolled out. And they have, what the Eero Beacon does, it just plugs right into any normal, you know, power outlet. Just plug it right in and it immediately connects to the rest of your Eero network. So you don't need to connect it to Ethernet or anything like that. So I've got a few of the beacons like in hallways. And what's so cool about the beacon is that it actually has like a nightlight setting. So we have it in the hallway. And so if the kids are getting up in the middle of the night and they're, you know, a little scared of a nightmare or something like that, the Eero beacon has a nightlight setting. And so it illuminates the hallway so nicely. So this edition third 5 gigahertz radio and the second generation Eero is now tri-band. It's twice as fast as the first generation, and it lets customers do more simultaneously in every room of their home. So whatever your Wi-Fi needs, Eero has the power to seamlessly blanket your home in fast, reliable Wi-Fi. I mean, we stream 4K movies on our Apple TV, and we do it wirelessly using the Eero. The main router is like all the way across the house, and the Eero in our TV room is there, and we get fantastic 4K speed. So we never drop frame rate. I like to watch MLB.com, so I watch my Phillies games from out of market, and I get consistently fast, crystal clear picture on my television thanks to the Eero. I love it. I absolutely love it. The single router model just doesn't work anymore. So if you've got one of those single routers from your cable company, it doesn't work. It's simple physics. It's like light waves. Wi-Fi waves don't go through walls well. So imagine asking a light bulb in your living room to light your master bedroom. It doesn't make sense. It's not going to work. What you need is a distributed system, and that's what Eero does. So with your Eero, you can install an enterprise-grade Wi-Fi system in your home in just a few minutes. The stuff that they put in like big skyscrapers is basically how Eero works. And it's so simple to set up too. Just launch your iPhone or your Android device and it'll walk you through each step of the process. It's super fast. And you know what's amazing is the current Wi-Fi routers that you can go into a Best Buy and try to find, They don't manage it. They're really tough to manage and prioritize. And the Eero app lets you manage your network from the palm of your hand. So you can actually see how many devices are currently connected. I can log in and see that Natalie has like 5 computers connected, or the kids have an iPad connected to it. You can see the number of devices all right there. It also has state-of-the-art encryption, WPA2 encryption, because it controls the hardware and the software for your entire network. Traditional routers don't push software updates to their customers, and so Eero does that. When there's a big cyber threat and there's big attacks, Eero is on top of it. They're able to push out updates automatically right to your network. That's fantastic. And they have incredible customer support. I've been on the phone with them. They actually pick up the phone and will talk to you. It's something amazing. They, you know, most companies don't do that. So you can get on the phone and talk to one of their experts in 30 seconds. Oh, it's just fantastic. So I'm a big fan of Eero. We have it throughout the house. Absolutely love it. I tell everyone I can about it who's looking for a good Wi-Fi setup in their house. And guess what? You're going to get free shipping, free overnight shipping to the United States or Canada. Visit Eero.com. That's Eero.com and select overnight shipping and then click, put in the promo code. And the promo code is the word investing, investing. When you click that promo code, you will get free overnight shipping. Got to check them out. Go to Eero.com, E-E-R-O, and use that promo code investing for free overnight shipping. Love you guys. So the $55,000 individual investment, checkbook control. Just walk us through what checkbook control looks like.
Well, it's literally what it, you know, what you hear, that's the meaning of that. You actually have a checking account and you have a checkbook and you control that. You control your retirement account with the checkbook. When you're ready to make the investment, you write the check. Instead of going to a third-party custodian and you make that investment. So you have a checkbook. That's where the name comes from.
So, and there's no limit. So I've got $55,000 in that account and I want to purchase a 40, you know, my wife and I this week actually just we're closing on a property. I think the total all-in cost for us on it with, you know, our rehab and everything was like 47, 45, something like that. So we could just write a check, write to our title company, pay the closing costs, $400, $500 for closing costs usually for us, and we're done. We own it. Now it's in the title. Who owns the title on the property? Does the 401k own it, or do I have it in my LLC?
Yeah. So if it is an IRA, the custodian actually takes the title. So if you have a self-directed IRA, if Clayton, you said you had an account with Equity Trust, it will be Equity Trust custodian.
It's for, a really long, annoying name.
for IRA of Clayton.
Right.
Okay, and your name. Okay. Now, if it's a self-directed solo 401k, remember, we actually create an individual trust specifically for the 401k. So it's going to be in the name of the trust, and it can be something like this, you know, ABC 401k Trust. Okay, whatever the name of your business is, that's how we normally name the 401k. So if you have, you know, Clayton Consulting, for example, it can be, you know, Clayton Consulting sort of solo 401k Trust. And the title is taken in the name of the trust.
Okay. But did I miss that for the 401k? Who keeps title on that?
The trust.
The trust does.
The 401k okay. Trust is going to be on the title, okay. And you control that.
Now, for tax benefits, let's talk about the tax benefits of owning the property in the solo 401k. You know, with the self-directed IRA, we know that obviously you get the tax benefits, right? The rent then is basically tax-free for until you're 59 and a half, right? So any money accrued by that account, by the investment, grows tax-free. And then when you're 59 and a half, you can take it out and you don't pay taxes on that growth. What about a solo 401k? Does it operate the same way?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same way. If you own an investment in your retirement account, all of the income, all of the gains, all of the growth that you receive from that investment is sheltered from taxes. If it's a traditional. Now, here's another benefit that we didn't talk about it yet, but, you know, write it down. Solo 401k has a RAT component. Okay, it actually allows you to make post-tax contributions should you choose to do so. You can pay the taxes, make a contribution into a RAT 401k, and it's part of the same solo 401k. You just will have two different buckets, pre-tax money and a RAT money. And when you invest in a RAT, your investment is gross tax-free forever. So that's another huge benefit. And the contribution limit on a RAT 401k is up to $24,000, comparing to $5,500 with a RAT IRA. $6,500.
Now let's talk about lending money out of that. What are some of the benefits of lending out of a solo 401k?
when you use your 401k as a private bank or as a bank to lend money to others, again, you can make the transaction just very simple without going to any third-party custodians. You write the check goes to escrow, the title is recorded or the deed is recorded in the name of your 401k trust. So your investment is protected. It's really passive. I love doing private lending out of my 401k because it's passive. The investments are secured by real property, and I don't have to do any work. I just make the investment once and receive the payments.
Do you use a servicing company to gather your funds as your investors are paying the loan back, or are they going through a servicing company, or is it just being mailed directly to you, or is it directly to the 401k?
You can set it up either way you want.
Okay.
It's your choice. You can use a servicing company. You can just service the loan yourself. That's totally up to you.
Are there any downsides to using a solo 401k as opposed to a self-directed IRA?
The only downside that I can think of, downside quote-unquote, is that you have the freedom, and with the freedom comes responsibility. So you need to understand the rules. You need to understand what the prohibited transactions are. And basically, you're responsible. It's not something you can just go and write the check and go on vacation or go and buy the vehicle or buy a boat with your 401k. That's not what it's designed for, to provide you personal benefits. It's designed for you to make the investments for the benefits of your 401k. There is also a couple of other advantages that if we have time, I'd love to go over them because they're major.
Yeah, please. Let's do it.
So we talked about the Roth. Also, one other huge advantage of a 401k is that it has a loan provision. So basically, with an IRA, if you have an IRA and you need money personally, you can't touch that. You can't take a penny from your IRA without being penalized and taxed on that if you do it before retirement age. But 401k allows you to take a personal loan up to $50,000 anytime for any reason. So if you set up a self-directed solo 401k, you in essence setting up your own private bank that you can access to anytime for any reason up to 50 grand.
Whoa. Now that's what I do with my 401k through Fidelity, and my wife and I we buy like one house a year using that money. We're allowed to take up to 50,000. We do that once a year. It's just like a little side way we invest. We take that 50,000 out, we buy a house, we pay it back. We buy a rental house and pay it back. So with a solo 401k, we can do the exact same thing.
Exactly. Yes, you can do exactly the same thing. The solo 401k loan works just like 401k loan at your job.
Wow.
If you have a 401k down.
So that's amazing. So you're not then, you don't necessarily have to buy it in the 401k where that takes title on it. So you can lend it to yourself. You could purchase the property in your LLC and then pay back the 401k and not have to then hold the property inside the 401k.
Yeah, you have that option. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the loan because when you take the loan out, you're removing funds from the 401k that could be potentially invested and could be earning tax deferred, interest or gains for you.
Right.
So if it makes sense, you really need to think twice. It is available there. I mean, the loan is there available. I don't normally encourage the use of it, but it is there. It's nicely to have that cushion and know that you can access up to 50 grand should you ever need it.
Well, I mean, like for my properties, we don't, the properties that we run through my company at Morris Invest, I mean, our goal is always to try to get it, hit that minimum like 10 to 12% ROI, cash on cash return. So if you're sort of trading maybe, 7% return in the 401k for a 12% return that you're going to pay back. Plus, also, are you paying interest? I mean, to me, then it's a no-brainer if you get the right investment, right? If you get the right rental property, if you know what you're doing. But also, are you paying back, like for my 401k, for instance, when we do this borrowing, obviously you're paying back with interest, right? And the beauty of that is it's your own interest.
Exactly.
So you're getting to write that off at the end of the year. So it's the same thing here?
The same thing here. You're paying back to yourself. So the your 401k is actually growing. When you take the loan from it, your 401k is growing by you paying it back with interest. So the interest, you pay interest back to yourself.
Wow, this is great. This is great. Okay, keep going on this point, because I just was just so excited about that.
Okay, so now one other benefit that I'd like to bring, because I think it's also huge comparing to an IRA. Now, if you buy a property inside of an IRA and you use leverage, for example, you buy in a property for 100K and you put 50K down and you get a non-recourse loan for another 50K. Well, half of the income that comes from the property that is leveraged will be subject to what's known as UBIT tax, unrelated business income tax. Okay, now, so half of the income will be taxed inside of an IRA if you use leverage. However, 401k is exempt from that rule. If you use leverage inside of your 401k, all of the income is going to be tax-free, tax sheltered. So I own a property in my 401k I purchased about 3 years ago in Phoenix. I used 60% leverage, and all of that income is sheltered from taxes. So that's another huge advantage of an IRA, of 401k over an IRA, is to buy real estate using leverage.
Okay, great, great. Well, this is powerful stuff. Is there any other things we should know about the solo 401k?
Well, you know, to kind of maybe bring back what I mentioned earlier is that solo 401k is very cost effective, because you eliminate the custodian forever and you eliminate all of the custodian fees forever. So there is no custodian fees, there is no transaction fees. You pay for the setup and then you as a trustee actually manage that, you control it. So whenever you make a transaction, there is no transaction fees. And I've seen clients come and switch to us who been paying, they had larger accounts, over $1 million, but they were paying, you know, $1,000, $2,000 in custodian fees. And they're able to eliminate all of that. So it's a very cost-effective solution from the maintenance standpoint, but also, as I mentioned, the tax sheltering is also huge.
That's great. Well, I'm going to get my wife on this immediately, because, you know, we've been using a self-directed IRA and, you know, all of those, you're right, the limit on how much we can contribute, the fees associated with it, not being able to borrow from it, want to be able to do a loan to ourselves. All of those things are really powerful. Plus just the overall, the like that investment to begin with, to be able to lower our tax burden, is just a killer strategy. So this is really great. So Dimitri, I don't know if there's anything else we should touch on or not, but how can people learn more about switching over to a solo 401k? Where can I send them?
They can come to our website, sensefinancial.com, and sense is like common sense, S-E-N-S-E. And the reason for the name is that because we are talking about financial concepts that make sense.
Right.
You know, what we talked about, this, does it make sense?
Right. It makes total sense, you know, and our audience is highly responsive. I have to say, we just did an episode a few weeks ago on the 1031 exchange and the power of the 1031 exchange. And our guest that we had on the show, Lance, he said his phone was ringing off the hook from people who were listening to our show and who reached out to him. So our audience is they take action. They don't just sit back and hang around in internet forums and waste their time. So I'm excited to see what people do with this, and hopefully people will be able to take action on it. I know I'm going to get my wife on this immediately. We're going to strategize on how we can move our stuff over to a self-directed 401k. So,
sure. Yeah, this is you know, again, it's not something that maybe you necessarily make a decision just overnight. This is something that you need to understand fully. And I do offer complimentary consultation to all of your listeners. Just have them call me and or call the office, and we'll schedule complimentary consultation. We'll talk to them. I'm going to give you my office number, which is 949-228-9394. They can reach out and we'll schedule consultation. We'll, you know, identify their goals and what their situation is and go from there.
Perfect. We will link all of these things up in our show notes page on our website, so you don't have to worry about if you're driving and you miss that phone number, don't worry about it. It's very, very simple for you to come over, and you can pick up, just when you get the show notes I want to make sure I have the exact episode number here for you so everyone can come over and grab it. This is episode 92. So if you come over to morrisinvest.com/episode92, then we will have all of that in the show notes page there so that you can click on that and go down, find the phone number, grab a link to Dimitri's website at Sense Financial and everything we talked about in today's show. Well, Dimitri, it's been a real pleasure, really eye-opening and totally educational episode, and I'm really thrilled that you could join us today.
Yeah, it's been fun to be there. You know, I do love talking about this, and I get excited because I've been doing this for 6 years now, and you know, every time I talk about these benefits, I get excited because, I mean, it is amazing. You know, it really makes sense to do those things.
It does. And for me, you know, I thought, okay, I'm pretty educated on self-directed IRAs. I'm pretty educated on this stuff. And then to hear a whole section of self-direction I had no idea about and the power of the solo 401k, I'm sure most of my audience is probably spinning and excited about it too. So my thanks to you again, Dimitri. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. Again, all of the episode show notes will be if you head over to morrisinvest.com/episode92. That's how you can get all the show notes page. And if you are ready to book a call with our team at Morris Invest, we would love to talk with you about picking up your first or second or third, or many of our investors have 10, 15 rental properties. We would love to talk with you. Book a 30-minute call, totally free. We'd love to hear what your goals are for rental real estate. And our team, myself, we would love to jump on the phone and talk with you about it. We'll see you back here next week, everyone, for another great episode of Investing in Real Estate. We thank you for your wonderful subscriptions and all of your kind feedback. I love reading your emails when you listen to the show and you send us emails. It really means the world to me. So we'll see you back here next week. We publish Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Have a great weekend, everyone. Much love to you.